Each Palm Sunday, I can't help but think of John Irving's book, A Prayer for Owen Meany. I know I've mentioned that other years, but it's because it's present to me each year on this day, especially that part of the book where the narrator, John Wheelwright, remembers his best friend in childhood, Owen Meany, hated Palm Sunday. Owen said of Palm Sunday, the treachery of Judas, the cowardice of Peter, the weakness of Pilate. It's bad enough that they crucified him, but they made fun of him too. Years later, as an adult, John Wheelwright attends church on Palm Sunday, and he remembers those words of Owen Meany. He reflects, and I quote, "I find that Holy Week is draining. No matter how many times I have lived through his crucifixion, my anxiety about his resurrection is undiminished. I am terrified that this year it won't happen, that year it didn't happen." Anyone can be sentimental about the Nativity. Any fool can feel like a Christian at Christmas. But Easter is the main event, unquote. I don't know about you, but those words resonate with me. Christmas offers many ready-made, beautiful images. Images that instill in us warm emotional responses. There are sheep and shepherds, the heavenly host singing at night, the newborn baby, the cow and the ox, and then the visit of those three kings bearing gifts. Beautiful images. Holy Week is different. It has few tender images. It's difficult to sentimentalize this week. It's a draining week. It's complicated. It's demanding. It has gruesome and ugly images. Includes accounts of terrible hatred and violence. This week confronts us with the worst that humanity can do. And so it is into that gruesome reality that we enter the most solemn and sacred week of the year. In Holy Week, we participate in those sacred mysteries by which our salvation is won for us. It is a week when time itself seems suspended. Days in which past and present and future are all caught up in God's time. The boundaries of time and space seem blurred. All time belongs to God, every moment revealing God's plan of salvation. And in these holy days, we walk with Jesus as he journeys to the pain and suffering of the cross. The whole experience of Holy Week is an anticipation of the final consummation of time itself, when we will enter into eternity, when we will dwell with God forever, seeing God face to face. We just read the traditional Passion account from Matthew. And each year on Palm Sunday, as we read the Passion, I'm struck by the display of human behavior and emotions that are found in the account. There are the disciples who struggle to understand what is happening. They seek to be faithful, accompanying Jesus in this difficult time, promising they will be with him throughout. Peter assures Jesus he will never deny him. And yet, as so often happens with our best intentions, Peter and the disciples do exactly what they promised not to. Peter denies Jesus not once, but three times, and the men abandon Jesus. In the Passion Gospel, there is deceit, there is betrayal. Judas, one of the 12, hands Jesus over to the authorities for 30 pieces of silver, though he does repent after. He betrays Jesus with a kiss, that intimate gesture of close relationship put to evil purposes. I always wonder how deeply that must have hurt Jesus. And then Pilate and the religious authorities are afraid of Jesus. They are worried about holding on to their authority, their power. They see Jesus as a threat. They fear his call to humility. They won't allow compassion and mercy to convert their hearts to the way of Jesus' love. And so they try Jesus in a mock trial and hand him over for crucifixion. And there is also despair for how these passion gospels have, through the ages, been weaponized. Used by Christians throughout time, sacred text, and we hear over and over again in these accounts, the Jews. How these sacred texts have been used to blame the Jewish community for the crucifixion of Jesus, despite the fact crucifixion is a Roman punishment. How through the centuries, the Jewish community is persecuted by Christians in hateful acts, especially during Holy Week. Christians are guilty of anti-Semitic acts in the name of Jesus, driven by the language of this gospel, scapegoating the Jewish community, perpetuating hate in Jesus' name. But there's not only despair. In the Passion Gospel, there is also hope, especially in the example of the women. They provide for Jesus and his disciples throughout his earthly ministry. They are with him throughout his journey, including at the cross. They follow on to his tomb. And they will be the first witnesses of the resurrection that Easter morning. These women embody faithful, loving service done not for themselves, but for love of Jesus. And then, of course, there is Jesus himself, who behaves so differently from everyone else. He embodies hope as he rises above the fray. In his Palm Sunday sermon titled "The Things That Make for Peace," the late Frederick Buechner says this week is about despair, but it is also about hope. Hope for the love of God seen in Jesus and for God's presence in difficult times. And it's about despair for humanity's actions, for our rejection of God's love. Buechner writes, and I quote, "Despair and hope, they travel the road to Jerusalem together, as together they travel every road we take. Despair at what in our madness we are bringing down on our own heads, and hope in him who travels the road with us and for us, and who is the only one of us all that is not mad. Hope in the King who approaches every human heart like a city. And it is a very great hope as hopes go, and well worth all our singing and dancing and sad little palms, because not even death can prevail against this King. And not even the end of the world, when end it does, will be the end of him, of the mystery and majesty of his love. Blessed be he." Unquote. Throughout the Passion Gospel, Jesus is largely silent, not responding to the taunts heaped on him. He doesn't lash out under the pain and the agony of the whip or the cross. He loves. He forgives those who hate, those who kill him. In his love, he invites everyone, those present with him, and all of us many centuries later, to follow in his way of hope, his way of love. So Jesus welcomes all in the way that he goes, where love is strong enough to sustain in times of great challenge, of suffering, of loss. Jesus invites us into love so strong that even the evil of sin and the hold of death are no match. The powers of this world cannot keep love in its grip. The tomb cannot contain God's love for long. And so the promise of Palm Sunday is, whatever may be before us, Whatever befalls us in this life, Jesus has experienced it. Whatever we might suffer, Jesus has suffered. Whatever griefs we might know, Jesus has known. Whenever we feel alone, abandoned, Jesus too has felt this. The death we face, as all people do, Jesus has already endured. The promise of Holy Week is that Jesus is truly, utterly, completely God with us, Emmanuel, the one who enters fully into human life, the one who knows all the trials and the difficulties that we experience. And from the cross, Jesus assures us he is always with us, walking beside us, supporting us, comforting us. And he invites us to walk his way of love, a way that is not easy, a way that doesn't insulate us from difficulties or suffering, but a way that is the path of true life. May we journey this week in company with ages past and with those who yet will come after us, walking in the present moment with Jesus on the journey of this week, walking his way of love. May we open our hearts to Jesus, who desires to enter our lives just as he entered the city of Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. And may we enthrone Jesus in our hearts as our King of love, as our hope in despair. Amen.